Good morning. This is our study on precept revelation, and we're in part three. And today's lesson is lesson number 11, which will be the closure or the ending of our study of the book of Revelation. So let us begin, as we always do, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that it was written down by you, by your finger. You inspired these that have written it down for us, and we know that you inspired John, the disciple, to write down the book of Revelation, and all of those great men that you inspired, and we praise you and thank you for each one of them, Father, that was led by your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have had to study your word. And I pray, Father, that as we come to the conclusion of our study, that you will give us a big picture of understanding of your word, and we want to live it out, Father, all that we've learned of you, what a great and mighty God that you are, that you will get honor and glory. And we ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think to be able to bring this study, we need to kind of go back. We want to look at what was given to John and how it was given to him. We know that he was on the island of Patmos, and he was in exile, and God spoke. The book of Revelation, we know that it's all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in looking at the very first chapter and the first verses, we learn that God gave to his son Jesus this revelation. And Jesus gave it to his angel. And then Jesus' angel gave it to John. And John was told to write, and he was writing to the church and to all believers this message that was given from God to Jesus and through the Jesus to the angel. Now, we've also learned that it was about things which John had seen. That was in the past, and we know that as we read in that first chapter of the book of John, that he saw Jesus, and he saw him standing among the seven churches, and it says the candlesticks. And those candlesticks represented the seven churches. And he held in his hand seven stars. And these stars represented the angels of each church. So that was past. That's what John had seen. He said, which you have seen. And then he was going to show him the things which are present, and that present thing is the church itself. We know that we are now living in the church age. And then he said that he would show him things which will take place, which represent the future. Now, as we have already studied all of the book of Revelation, we learned that Revelation chapter 1 was about the past. That's the things that John saw. It's already past. And Revelation chapters 2 and 3 was the seven letters that were given to John to write to the seven churches. And we are living in that age, in that present time. And then he was told in chapters 4 through chapter 22 of the future that has not yet come. So that is kind of basically what we are looking at as we study, or as we have studied in this book of Revelation. So what we're trying to do today is to see the big picture and see it in a chronological order. Now, there's a timeline of major prophetic passages, and you have a copy of that, those that attend the class, but I will try these that are listening to bring us through that timeline. So, first of all, let's kind of look back into history. And we're going to see, in looking back, a Gentile domination of Israel. We studied in the book of Daniel that the Israelites had been captured. Well, first of all, we know that they were one nation, and then they divided into two nations called Israel, the northern part, and the southern part was Judah, and this was also the tribe of Benjamin. And so that was where we're looking back right now in that history. Now, the Assyrians defeated Israel, that northern kingdom, about 722 B.C. And then we studied in the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar became the king of Babylon. And we studied these different kingdoms. As he ruled, he captured Jerusalem, and he brought in these Israelites. And the scripture in the book of Daniel tells us that they would be in captivity for 70 years because of their disobedience to following God and his laws. So Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, first defeated and brought Israel in. And then after that, we know another empire, the Medo-Persians, came in. And when they came in, they ruled and reigned. And then we know that Greece came and defeated them. And then we know that 3 years later that the Maccabees regained Jerusalem, and they cleansed the temple, and they ruled Jerusalem. And then after that, we learned in history that Pompey, a Roman general, conquers Jerusalem and walks into the Holy of Holies. So that's where we see the Roman Empire, and all of this was history taking place before the coming of Jesus. And during this Roman Empire, we've learned in the 12th chapter of Revelation that Jesus' birth from the woman, the devil, tries to destroy him, but he's called up to God. So I'm going to read quickly Revelation 12, 1 through 5. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under the feet, her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and pain to give birth. And then we saw another sign, and a great dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Now we know or learned that the red dragon is Satan. And then we see in the 5th verse, and she gave birth to her son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God on his throne. Now, looking at this 12th chapter, we see the picture of the birth of Christ. Looking at a timeline, in 63 B.C., we saw that Rome conquered Israel. And then in 20 B.C., Herod begins building a second temple. And then in 4 B.C. is the coming of Christ. That's when he is born by the Virgin Mary. And that is on the timeline showing the birth of Christ. And as we look at this, we want to try to get a picture of all of this. We see in Revelation 12 that I just read that it represented the birth of Christ and how that Satan was trying to destroy. And we know that Herod, when he found that Christ had been born and that he was to become a king, that he wanted him destroyed, and that's whenever he had all the male babies that were 2 years old and under destroyed. And then we know when Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem that they were warned by an angel to go to Egypt until the destruction, or until Herod died. And then as we see that Jesus is born, we studied in the book of Daniel that 69 of this is 70 weeks that was decreed for Daniel's people, and that was 7-year period of 490 years. So I'm going to read a little bit about Daniel in chapter 9, 20 through 27. This is about the 70 weeks and the Messiah, starting with verse 24. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people in your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood even to the end. and there will be war, desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offerings. And on the wing of abomination, will come one who makes desolate even until a complete destruction over that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So here we see that only 1 week is left to finish this transgression and to put an end to sin. Now this was the vision given to Daniel that he might see the future that we've been studying in the book of Daniel. And I just read here where that it was to finish transgression, to make an end to sin, and that was the coming of Jesus, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. So this was to bring about this prophecy that was made by Daniel and other prophets, and it was to anoint the most holy place. And of course we know that is the return of Jesus. So to continue on this timeline, let's look at the book of Acts, because we know that after Jesus came, he was born, and then he preached and taught and healed until he was about 32 and a half years old. And then he was accused of blasphemy, and he was taken by the Romans, and he was crucified on the cross. And then we know that after 3 days, he was resurrected. And then we know that he walked here on this earth for about 40 days, I believe, before he ascended. So let's look at Acts 2 and 10 and see how that this takes place after the ascension of Jesus. It tells us in Acts 1, 9 through 11, and after he, Jesus, had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, and they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." So here we know what's the promise that Jesus said, that he was going to come again and set up his kingdom here on this earth. And that's what this book that we've been studying, the book of Revelation, is about. It's about the coming of his kingdom and the time of rapture and the time of tribulation. So here in the book of Acts, it tells us that Jesus appeared to the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, and then he ascended to heaven with 11 of the disciples watching. And that's what we see in Acts 1. And then on the feast of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in all believers. And so the promises of the new covenant were partially filled. And the church began with thousands of Jews in Jerusalem. Now let's look at Acts 10, 45 and 44 and 45. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So this was about 8 years later, after the Pentecost, after that the disciples had gathered there in that second chapter of Acts. And now, about 8 years later, we see that the Gentiles received the gospel and believed, and they became a part of the church for the first time that they received the promises of the covenant. Now, also we learned in Luke 21 that Jesus foretold the destruction of the temple that took place in A.D. 70. And the Romans were led by Titus, and they destroyed the temple of Jerusalem at that time. And in Daniel 9:24-27 that we read, the people of the prince, this was of the Antichrist, who is to come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And of course, that was the destruction that I just mentioned in A.D. 70 that followed the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple when Israel returned from the Babylonian captivity. And this was Herod's temple. And so Luke mentioned, I read in the book of Luke, I haven't read it yet, Luke 21, Christ himself mentions the time of the Gentiles. So I'm going to read Luke 21:5-6. And while some were talking about the temple that was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, Jesus Christ said, "As for these things which you are looking at, the days will come at which there will not be left one stone upon another which will not be torn down." So that's what happened in A.D. 70. Jesus also had foretold the disciples that this would happen. And that's in the book of Luke that I just read. Now, in looking back, we studied in the book of Daniel about the 70 weeks of prophecy. In that study that we read in the book of Daniel, it gives the number of seven on Israel. It was always seven mentioned. They had a Sabbath of days, and then they had a setting apart the seventh day for honoring God. That was Sabbath. And they had Sabbath years, and they were to let the land lie fallow on the seventh year and give it rest. But because they broke that law, that's why they came into captivity. So 1 year for each sabbatical year, they failed to obey God. And they also had a Sabbath of Sabbaths, with every 50th year set apart as the year of Jubilee. But now Daniel was being introduced to a Sabbath 70 weeks. And that's what we're talking about. It's a 7-year period that Daniel was given the vision of the coming tribulation and the 7-year periods became a total of 490 years, which was 7/7, and it was determined making 490 years. So we need to keep this in mind as we study and going back over our recent study in the book, to bring to our mind as we bring this study in a chronological order. Remember, a Sabbath of days was 7, a Sabbath of years was 7, and the Sabbath of sevens was 7, and the Sabbath 70 weeks was the 490 years. And it had to do with Jerusalem and the Jews, because God had specific purposes to fulfill this period by removing sin and bringing in righteousness. And we know that the result will be anointing of the holy place of the temple, that is, the return of Jesus to the earth to reign in glory from his temple in Jerusalem. And we know that Rome is called the people of the prince that shall come, and that prince is Antichrist, and he'll be the leader of the restored Roman Empire. So we're seeing that this empire that's restored is by the Antichrist. And so the prince will make an agreement with the Jews to protect them from the other nations. But in the middle of the 7 years, he will break that. And so between the death of Christ and the signing of this covenant, you have the church age that we're living in now. And this is a great parenthesis here, this period of time. And here we see when Israel crucified Christ that she was set aside and the prophetic clock stopped ticking. But when the church has been caught up in the rapture to heaven, the Antichrist will sign this pact with Israel. And then the last 7 years of Daniel's 70 weeks will start being fulfilled. And this 7 year is known as the tribulation of the time, or the time of Jacob's trouble. And it's described through chapters 6 and through Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19. And then we will get now back into our timeline, and we're going to see here, we're going back into Revelation, the timeline we've got established, that the church has been established, and we're looking at the future. And I'm going to read chapter 11, 1 through 3, that points out to part of the vision that John received, starting with verse 1. Then there was given me, John, a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar, and those who worship in it, leave out the court, which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it's been given to the nations, to the Gentiles. And they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. So that's the time of the tribulation. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. So the months that we're looking at, 42 months is 3.5 years. The 1260 days is 3.5 years. So this first part of the tribulation, God will send his two witnesses to preach the gospel during that time. So it also mentions here further in 11 through 14 about the temple and the teaching of these witnesses. Let's look at 11 through 14. The second woe is past, and the third woe is coming quickly. And this is starting with verse 14. And then we see that in verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God the Almighty, who are, who were, because you have taken your great power and begun to reign. And so this is when Christ begins to reign. And the nations were engaged, and your wrath came, and the time came to the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservant prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, the small, the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and earthquake and a great hailstone. So here we're looking in these verses that a temple, it mentions a temple and the teachings of the two witnesses who prophesied during this time, and they're killed by the prince just before the seventh trumpet sounds. And then we see what happens, as I read, as the seventh trumpet and during the last 3.5 years. And then we saw that Satan was cast down. And let's look at verse 9 here and see where. And he gave, and the great dragon was thrown down. This is chapter 11, verse 9. And the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. So here we see in these verses that Satan's cast down to earth from heaven, and he's enraged, and he gives power to the beast, the king, or the prince of Revelation in Daniel, and then 10 kings are given their power to this king, the Antichrist, the prince, the Antichrist, the beast, breaks his covenant in the middle of the 7 years, and he takes his seat in the temple, declaring himself to be God. And this is called the abomination of desolation, and we have studied that. And Jesus said, at this time the great tribulation begins and lasts until his coming. And no distress like this has ever happened to Israel, and the devil himself tries to destroy them, and the king makes war with the saints for 3.5 years and overpowers them. We studied that in the 11th chapter, where the woman was with child. And then we know in the very last, after the 7th trumpet is fulfilled, then comes the 7 bowls. And these are the 7 bowls of God's wrath, and they begin to be poured out. So let's see about the coming in chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress, the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, then next we see in the 19th chapter of 19 through 20, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. And these two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. So here we see that when these bowls are poured out, that unbelievers take the mark of the beast so that they can buy and sell. So what takes place then at the end of this time? Jesus comes to set up his kingdom. That's what we read in 19, verse 11. And then we're seeing here, as we go forward, what I just read, the beast was seized and the false prophet. And this is where they are thrown. Then it says, the beast was seized and with him a false prophet. And they were thrown into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. Now then, we know that judgment comes. It comes to the beast king and his false prophets. And that's what I just read in 19 and 20. And then we know that the devil, then after this, let's look at chapter 20, verses 2 and 3. And this is after Jesus comes to set up his kingdom. It says, and he laid hold of the dragon, the devil, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So the devil is the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are thrown already into the lake of fire. But Satan is bound, it says, for 1,000 years, and thrown into the abyss, and shut it up and sealed it over him, Satan, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. And after these things, he has to be released for a short time. So the devil is cast into the bottomless pit, or the abyss, for 1,000 years. And this is where the times of the Gentiles end. And we see that the judgment of God comes. A reading in chapter 20, 11 through 15. Then I saw the great throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. And then death and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So here we see that all of these that have not believed, the ones in the Old Testament and those unbelievers that were left behind when rapture come, and all the unbelievers in the time of the 1,000-year reign, they have come for judgment. And then the saints possess the kingdom of God, and he reigns for 1,000 years. When he comes back and sets up his kingdom, the saints will rule and reign with him. And then it says the new covenant is completely fulfilled. All Israel will be saved. All of Israel that have believed during this time, and any that believed in the past, will be saved. So let's see what happens after the millennium. We see at this time that Satan is cast into the lake of fire. And then we know that we just read where the dead was judged. And after that, we see in chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, that we studied the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm going to read 1 through 3. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be among them. So that tells us in 21, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And then when you read verse 10 of chapter 21, it tells us about the new Jerusalem. And he carried me, John, away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. So that puts us now to the very last chapter in chapter 22. Let's read verses 22, 12 through 14. Behold, I am coming quickly, And my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. And then in verse 17 of chapter 22, we see the Spirit and the bride says, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost, freely. So here we see in this great book that God has written down himself and given to his son Jesus. And Jesus gave it to the angel, and the angel gave it to John to write down for us. Here we see that all, he said, and let the one who hears come, and the one who is thirsty come, and the one who wishes to take the water of life freely without cost come. And that's speaking to all and each and every one today, before the future comes, before the time of tribulation. He is calling out to the many that are lost without the Lord Jesus. Now is the time, or today is the time of salvation. So my prayer is that anyone that has been studying and heard the word, the truth, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." All that have read and studied the word, you have this opportunity now, before the wrath comes, to repent and accept and believe upon the name of Jesus. So I just pray that all of us that have been studying have already received the Lord Jesus, and that he is the Lord of our lives. But Father, if there be any that have, I pray that today will be the day of salvation. And we'll close out today in prayer. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we can't begin to find the words to thank you for your precious, beloved truths that you have written down for us and given to us, Father. I just pray, Father, for each one that has taken this class, and each and every one that has studied it with us online, that you will speak to each of our hearts, Father, and that it will change us and make a difference in the way that we live every day, knowing that you will come, and your word says soon, and that you'll come as a thief, least expecting. And help us, Father, to live it out, to live out your word, your truth, and to be a disciple and a witness before those that have never received you. Use us, Father, mold us and make us, that we may become what you would have us to be, to please you just as Jesus always pleased you. We want to please you, Father. I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.